I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
5. How many remember that? I remember when it came out, but I didn't have a chance to watch it until a few years later. We had no TV in our house. We were taught from children all the way up in the church that we attended that it was the devil's. It was his eyeball on us, so no TV in our home. So a few years later, I actually got to watch it probably at one of my grandparents' homes or one of my friends. Well, there's something very interesting in this presentation. What does Linus always carry? His blanket. Did you know the moment he said, do not be afraid, he dropped it? Yeah, we did that. That's true. But he dropped it, and he didn't pick it up until he was finished. Now, next time you go and watch it, you're going to notice that, right? So, every time I come to God's Word, I always come with a very inquisitive mind. I come with many questions and thoughts in my mind, and this morning we're going to look at the search of the shepherds. And my thought has always been, why did God choose these shepherds to be the first to receive this glorious news concerning the birth of Jesus? Why the shepherds? What was so important about them that God would reveal to them what had just happened? Maybe we need to go back a little bit in history and find out. The shepherds were a despised people by the Jews of the day, outcast from society. Their honesty and integrity was questioned. They were unable actually to keep the details of the ceremonial laws. Now, if you went back to the Old Testament and started reading through there and all the traditions, there were certain protocols on washing your hands. Wash, 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 all the time. This meticulous hand washing could not be kept by shepherds. The demands of the flock was just so great upon them that their hands were always dirty. Some of us are mechanics. Some of us are farmers, carpenters, oil and gas workers. Our hands, mine are not so bad lately. Mine are pretty soft lately. I haven't been doing too much construction for the last couple of months, so it's not too heavy. But there are times my hands are just coated and impregnated with goo. I can't get it off. So I would be one of those people that would be eliminated from serving and going to the tabernacle as well, because I couldn't keep my hands clean. So these shepherds were just ordinary, everyday people, just like you and I, going about life. Yet God revealed his miraculous plan to those shepherds. Was it because of their occupation? Could very well be. Their dedication or their expectation. And we're probably going to find a little bit of that as we speak this morning. And are you familiar with the fact that an unblemished lamb was offered every morning and every evening in the temple in Jerusalem as a sacrifice? So every morning, a lamb was sacrificed, unblemished one, morning and evening. And to keep that supply, the temple authorities had their own flocks. And they would look after, and they'd be looked after in the pastures in Bethlehem. That's where they were kept. Maybe it was those shepherds who were in charge of those sheep from which the temple offerings were chosen. Just to think that the shepherds were the first to hear of the Lamb and God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus came to be both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world. In fact, in John 1:29, John the Baptist, he's in the River Jordan, he's baptizing people, people are around him on the shore, and then Jesus walks by. And what does John do? He stops what he's doing and he points, I'll bet you, and he says, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Yes, that's why Jesus came. And after this announcement, the shepherds did something that was amazing. They said, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem." They had to see this wonderful thing that had happened, which God had told them about. Those shepherds were seeking someone, and they were not disappointed. And today, are you seeking someone? Is that someone Jesus? I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to be disappointed when you meet him. But I want us to notice the shepherds verified the facts concerning Jesus. We find that in verse 15 of our passage. It says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem to see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" An event of tremendous significance had taken place. The stillness of the night, like some of our Christmas carols tells us, the heavens opened. And the angels appeared and they announced. And the glory of heaven poured out. Terrified and frightened with fear, and yet filled with wonder, the shepherds heard these words in Luke 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." I'm going to tell you, if you're like me, if the heavens opened and some angels started singing, would you be afraid? I'd be terrified. I might even pass out. But he goes on, and the angel goes on and says, "I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." This heavenly news was so astonishing and held such far-reaching consequences, those shepherds could do no less and verify the facts that they heard from God. Now observe, they seriously verified the facts. In fact, they said, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem." At this point, nothing really mattered. Even the care of the sheep was forgotten. They just took off and went. They had to go. They had to go see what God had done, this marvelous thing. And when I think of those shepherds, I think, man, how they convict me. And they should convict us today. 2,000 years have come and gone since this recorded event, yet have we failed to verify the facts concerning Jesus? Have some of us? Christmas comes year after year, yet do we ignore the significance of this occasion? The fact that God stepped into world history for the purpose of redeeming you and me, our neighbors, our families, our friends. The fact that Jesus died says so that whoever can receive eternal life, the fact that salvation from sin depends upon the acceptance of Jesus as Savior and Lord at times, sometimes we fail to investigate seriously. Get into God's Word, deep into God's Word. The reason may not be of opposition or hostility. It could be just that we're so used to of hearing Christmas that we just sort of forget. We become, shall we say, indifferent. Sometimes the meaning of Christmas just kind of falls away, even in the church, even in the Christian message. When I look at Christmas, I see that Jesus has been replaced with Santa. Camels and donkeys and sheep have been replaced with reindeer. The gift of salvation with wonder, brightly wrapped boxes. A lamp to light the cave to a dazzling display of lights. Shepherds and wise men replaced with elves. Sometimes that's what I figure is this happened with Christmas. Something's got mixed up. It's a wonderful message in Christmas, and we all got to speak that out. Observe, they speedily verified the facts. You notice that in verse 16, the shepherds did what? They ran. They ran to the village. To them, this matter was urgent. They could not delay. They had to verify the facts that were announced. This sense of urgency concerning God's way of salvation as revealed in Jesus punctuates the whole Bible. You would take time to study the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will find that salvation is the very heart, the very center of God's word. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, indeed, God is ready to help right now. Today is the day of salvation. I don't think we can be casual or careless with God's message. We need to proclaim it. We need to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. In Matthew 6, it says these words, the Heavenly Father knows already what your needs are, and he'll give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. We ought to come in all seriousness and speed to the manger of Jesus. He is God's answer to all our basic needs and our daily needs. But more importantly, he is the one that takes away our sins and cleanses us. Notice the shepherds accepted the findings concerning Jesus. In verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. And look at what those shepherds found. They found the miracle of Jesus' birth. First of all, they found Mary. The witness of Mary centered in the miracle of Jesus' birth. And Mary was the mother of Jesus. She had never had any relations with a man or Joseph. In fact, in verse Luke chapter 1:35, it says the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holy, Most Holy will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then in Matthew 1:16, very important. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. The phrase by whom is very important, very critical, because it's saying that Jesus was conceived through Mary, not Joseph, and a witness to his virgin birth. Jesus was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph, in order that his human nature would be sinless, and that is why he is called the Son of God. Jesus' humanity had both a heavenly origin through the power of the Holy Spirit and an earthly origin through Mary. And that means he was 100% God and 100% man. The natural process of birth had brought Jesus to the point of delivery. The miracle of the supernatural conception had preserved the child from hereditary sin, from Adam's sin that passes right from then all the way down to us today and to our children, and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. His was a supernatural and sinless birth. And so as the shepherds saw Mary and heard the story, they worshipped him because of the miracle of the birth of Jesus. Without the virgin birth, we would have no Savior. If he carried a single dot of sin, now you got a Bible, you got a piece of paper, and you write a sentence, you put a dot at the end of it. If Jesus had that little dot of sin in him, he would also need a Savior, like every one of us. And he would never have been our Redeemer or the world's Redeemer, because he would have needed a Savior as well. Aren't you thankful? Doesn't you just want to praise him? That he was sinless, a supernatural child, born of a virgin. Look at what those shepherds found. They found the message of the Savior's birth. They found Joseph. Witness of Joseph is another central character in the message of Jesus' birth. And an angel had appeared to Joseph, saying in Matthew 1, but after he had considered this, so Joseph is considering what to do with Mary after he heard all what happened, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. I wonder if Joseph said those words to the shepherds after they came and told them to what had happened to them. I think Joseph did. I think he even confirmed the angel's message that they had heard on the hills. Whatever else we think about Christmas time, the thought of the Saviorhood of Jesus should always be preeminence, always central to our celebrations. Jesus did not come into the world primarily to teach, which he did, to reform, to heal, even raise the dead. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And look at what the shepherds found. They found the majesty of the Savior's birth. Verse 16 of our passage says they found the baby lying in a manger, or a feed trough, shall we say. All right. The witness of the baby centered in the majesty of the Savior's birth. Majesty speaks of his power, sovereign power, his authority, his dignity, his grandeur, and splendor. Interesting that God took the position of a child, a baby. Only God could do this. For us, you know what? We always like to go up, don't we, up the ladder. But you notice God always comes down? Only God can do that. Thus we have the revelation of the majesty of our God. Look at those words again in verse 12 of our passage. A baby lying in a manger, wrapped in snugly in cloth, strips of cloth. In the baby, we see the majesty of his identity. In the strips of cloth, we see the majesty of his humility. When they wrapped those cloths around the baby couldn't move. In the manger, we see the majesty of his humility. Boy, doesn't it make you want to worship and adore him? Just praise him. Whether or not we do, the shepherds did. They knelt by the manger and accepted their findings, and they believed. Notice the shepherds, The shepherds announced the faith concerning Jesus. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Cut my thumb this past September, and just will cut it right off, and it's still quite numb, and I try to turn pages and I can't feel it. But if you take a careful study of the language of this narrative, it reveals the shepherds had accepted the heavenly announcement as a special word to their hearts. When they said to one another, when the angels had left, we find that in verse 15, and gone into heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They were saying, let us go. We have to go. It's urgent. We need to investigate. We need to find out what has been known to us, what God has revealed to us. We know the Bible reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They verified the facts. They accepted the findings. And what did they do? They proceeded to proclaim what they had received. They knelt by the manger, and then they went out and proclaimed. And remember this, the evidence that you and I have real faith is that we cannot keep it to ourselves. We must proclaim it. And that's what the shepherds did. Notice they publicly announced their faith. In verses 17 and 18 of our passage, it says, when they had seen him, it says, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And it says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. As we know, the shepherds were just ordinary, everyday people, sort of set aside because of their occupation, but yet God chose them. I always find that amazing. When you read Scripture, God always chose us those who are at the bottom. And he does great things through them all. The first to proclaim the news, the king has arrived. And as they made their story known, it only spread to Bethlehem, Jerusalem, but it also spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. So in 2,000 years have gone, and we find ourselves only reading just fragments of what took place. And the evidence that we have truly encountered the Son of God is we are willing and unashamed to declare our faith to everyone. I think of Romans 1:16, I don't have it up here. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There's a sole characteristic of the early Christians, and that in less than a generation, the whole of the known world that they were involved in heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some questions. Are we as vocal as the shepherds when it comes to sharing our faith? Are we? No. We have something that we should be running all over the place, yelling and screaming that Jesus is alive. Or do we assume that people will know where we stand? Oh, you walk like a Christian. We act like one. We speak like one. So they must know we are, right? No, they must hear it from us that we have the Savior within us. We need to learn to speak our testimonies, speak about our faith publicly. Not only at Christmas time, but every day, and every moment of every day. Those that we meet, we need to share our faith. And know they praisefully announce their faith. In verse 20 of our passage, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They just couldn't keep it in. They had to tell people. They glorified and praised God for what he had done. And once again, this spirit of prayerfulness was one of the distinguishing features of the early church and of the Christians. We find that in Acts chapter 2. It says, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was something contagious about their faith. People could not resist the reality and radiance with which they spoke of their Lord and Savior, Jesus. I wonder, could this be one of the missing features in our Christian witness? And in the church today? Are people unimpressed because they see nothing joyful about our testimony? Well, they don't even hear it. After all, let us never forget that the message of Christ is the gospel of great joy for everyone. I want to read a story from a friend. His name was Doug. He was a director of a mission organization. Told of this event. He was at McDonald's in Blaine, Washington with his grandson. His grandson's about 4 or 5 years old. They ordered their meals and they sat down. Then a group of Hell's Angels entered the restaurant, about 6 of them. They were loud and intimidating as they were ordering, and the building filled with fear, Doug said. Doug's grandson put his sandwich down, got off his chair, and walked. Approached one of the bikers, as big as you, or bigger, and patted him on the butt. The biker looked down, Doug says, and his grandson said, do you know Jesus? He says, you can hear a pin drop in the restaurant. Before the guy could answer, he says, if you don't, my grandfather can help you. And he pointed to him. And then his grandson returned to the table and sat down. Doug said, boy, was I filled with terror. Boy, was I scared to death. I didn't know what was going to happen. Those bikers joined him and his grandson for lunch. And he says they had a great time sharing Jesus. Be vocal. Speak about your faith. Remember, Jesus came to bring joy. In John, he said in John 15:11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, so that your joy may be complete. So the announcement of our faith should be public, praiseful, and joyful. Well, what a wonderful, glorious event this was. Amen? And as we follow the search of the shepherds, surely we have been made to verify the facts, accept the findings, and then to go and proclaim and announce the faith concerning Jesus. Only when he becomes our personal Savior, we can turn Fairview, Blue Sky, Hines Creek, Worsley, Whitelaw, I don't know where you all come from, upside down for Jesus. We need to make known the things concerning Jesus. He is God's Son. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So the search of the shepherds is a quest and a challenge for all of us here today. I just want to close with a prayer. Let's bow, shall we? God is with us. Thank you, Father. You are with us in the birth of your Son. Let's live lives of hope, peace, joy, and love. Let us share God's love with those that we meet. Let the Holy Spirit fill our hearts with glad tidings like the angels gave to the shepherds. And let the Prince of Peace live in our hearts to comfort us, to challenge us, to live and proclaim your message to those that we meet, who today more than ever need hope and need your love. In your wonderful name, amen.